Aquí de lunes a jueves. You
the safari park.
You're killing me, Larry.
Hello, Larry.
Hats off to Larry.
Larry, get into bed now.
Is there no sweeter sound than that of your own name buried in cheers and applause? I think not. Hey, question. If it's really the happiest place on Earth, how come everyone I know who works for Disney, not just the theme parks, but anywhere, calls it Mauschwitz? How come whenever I go there, which is only when one of my kids puts a knife to my throat, I never see the only princess I want to see? The pointy princess. The one who shows her fantastic midriff and belly button. The only one whose costume says, "Eyes here, boys, and don't look away until I say so." As if you ever could look away. Oh, God, Jasmine, the queen of princesses, pointiness personified. What's her costume really about? Well, it's a belly dancer's costume. And those things are designed to do only one thing. Who doesn't want 1,001 nights with Jasmine? Who doesn't want to hop on her magic carpet and go anywhere she says? She's the dessert in the desert. The delight in the dunes, the sexy Scirocco. A smoking hot confection built to make men do really stupid things they'll regret and then beg to do them again. But at Mauschwitz, the only princess I ever see is Ariel. Who the hell wants to see Ariel? If I want to see a chick with scales, I'll find one with eczema. And she has no legs, and clearly, she has no genitals. Sorry, no sale. Get back in the sea. Disney is fucking up. They forget who's paying the $124 a head admission at their goofy amusement park. That's right. They just jacked the prices again. $124 depending on the day, and zero guarantee of a Jasmine sighting. But those jackasses have now ruined Jasmine, too. Now, back when they had their heads on straight, you could actually get a beer with dinner or lunch at the Blue Bayou restaurant. That's over. Oh, but there are adult beverages at Downtown Disney, they say. How brilliant. Hey, kids, the heck with the Matterhorn and Splash Mountain. We're going to hike about a mile in extreme heat to a place where there are no rides so Daddy can pound a couple brewskis. I'll never return to Disneyland. Because not only is there no beer, those executones in the corner office have changed Jasmine's coquettish costume. They've de-sexed her, rendered her gender neutral. They should change her name from Princess Jasmine to Sister Jasmine. Dig this, according to the Washington Times. Gone is the midriff-bearing two-piece outfit the Arabian princess wears in the cartoon feature. The new costume, to be worn by actresses portraying the character, is long-sleeved, with a neckline that rests at the collarbone. Oh, it gets worse.
Disney has slowly been rolling out brand new costumes for all princesses in the park, and Jasmine's is one that got a new look. One of the main reasons for this change is that many were complaining about Jasmine showing her stomach. Which is totally understandable, especially taking young, body-conscious girls into consideration.
Oh, really? It goes on.
The Jasmine character in particular has been under fire from feminists as well as Muslim critics in recent years as an offensive role model unworthy of showcasing to impressionable young girls.
Stop. The fuck right there. It goes on.
The majority of Princess Jasmine's numerous flaws.
Numerous flaws? She was perfect, you fucking morons.
Those flaws stem from the fact that she is completely inaccurate and offensive to her culture.
What? Her culture invented belly dancing. It didn't come from Connecticut. So these assholes are claiming her culture is self-offending.
From the clothes she wears to the way she speaks, Jasmine does not represent Arab or Muslim women at all, but rather a disgraceful woman in their culture. Unfortunately, Jasmine is not a suitable role model for young girls,
complained a young woman blogger last year. Oh, ah, ding, ding, ding. A young woman blogger. Who the fuck is that? Now we get to the bottom of this pile of lies.
Had Jasmine been portrayed more accurately, she would have been far more like Cinderella, Ariel, or Belle. She would have been braver, kinder, and more modest. She would have had more grace and poise the way a princess should. The most accurate Jasmine was portrayed in Aladdin in her purple royal engagement announcement dress. This is the Jasmine who should be sold to the little girls, not the spoiled, impulsive, shrew-like tease version of her.
What kind of asshole writes shit like that? What kind of twisted, grotesque freak of nature complains about a beautiful woman showing off her beauty? Let's look closer at this lady blogger. Red flag statement number one. Who should be sold to the little girls? That's the quote. Whenever some meddlesome, power-hungry cowards, the self-appointed brain police and culture police and sex police, whenever these piles of vomit flex their flabby bingo wings and puff out their multiple chins, they invariably invoke the children. We must protect the children. But these people almost never have any children. And there's always a simple reason why. They don't even like children. Since we can't put a face on this blogger, let's look at a similar turd. Janet Reno. Janet Reno. I'm so very glad she's dead. Remember Janet Reno? She was U.S. Attorney General. A sexually conflicted alcoholic. She got in a pissing contest with religious zealot David Koresh near Waco, Texas, way back in 94. She was unable to extract Koresh and his disciples from his compound, this after a 51-day standoff. Well, she just had enough. In the ultimate, my dick is bigger than your dick move, she ordered the feds to throw grenades, incendiary tear gas, and storm the place. 26 children, including 8 infants, were burned alive, plus another 50 adults. Reno tried to justify her mass murder by claiming the children were being abused. Ah, the children. There was zero evidence of any child abuse. Even the FBI, who staged the assault and took a horrific black eye for it, found no evidence of child abuse. None. Reno never apologized. Never. Now, a normal human being responsible for such a death toll, would remain in seclusion and shame for the duration of their life, would they not? Oh, not sensible shoes, Janet. She went on to appear on Saturday Night Live as host of her very own dance party. Her conscience was as clear as her vodka. We all cheered when Bin Laden died, but, you know, Reno was really much more evil because her sworn duty was to protect Americans, and instead, she killed him. Now, what makes these creeps arbiters of taste? We've got the fucking church lady telling us what we can and cannot see. What gives her the right to dictate what's acceptable in a woman's behavior or apparel? I'm just fine with having my kids see a beautiful, well-built woman. You see them all the time, everywhere you go. But these grimbos, They're the only ones who have a problem with hot chicks. Simply because they're not. It's not about Muslims, it's not about culture, and it's not about children or little girls. They hate the way they look, and so they want attractive women to go away. And now we're allowing these freaks to decide what fictional characters should wear. Watch what's coming next. This pig patrol will start bitching about women in bikinis on the beach. Just wait. It's coming. And can you believe Disney caved into this shit? Hey, Disney, how about what's offensive to me when I see allegedly mature adults wearing mouse ears walking around sucking popsicles and miming filleting them? When I see a $5.50 price tag on an ice cream bar I can buy in 7-Eleven for $1.25, that's when I get offended. I demand that shit and those offensive sights and prices be removed from my sight. The place is a colossal ripoff, beginning with the parking lot. $20 to park your ride before you even get through the gate. Now, how do they justify that parking fee? Why else would you park there? To dump your car and hike 10 miles over to Knott's Berry Farm? To visit the city of Anaheim and get sprayed with bullets in a drive-by? Out in the parking lot, you now have to walk through security. And somebody paws through your wife's purse or your personal belongings. And then you gotta go through a goddamn metal detector. And what are you gonna do? Hijack the Dumbo ride? What's that shit about? And now it's $124 a ticket. Family of four plus parking and a couple of meals, you're going to drop the better part of a grand. For what? Disneyland used to have this incredible cleanup crew. You know, a piece of litter would hit the floor and almost before it landed, somebody would arrive with a dustpan and broom and make it disappear. People smiled and asked you your name and went out of their way to make you feel welcome. It still happens, but not so much anymore. And the bathrooms aren't as sparkly as they once were. And some of the paper towel dispensers are empty. For $124, when you take a tinkle break, somebody should assist. Maybe even Jasmine. You know, some time ago, some friends invited me to a restaurant nightclub, and on the way in, some guy wanted to frisk and wand me with a metal detector. I left on the spot. Why the fuck would I eat and drink in a joint where the clientele is so low rent they gotta check for weapons? Ditto Disneyland. Then once you go through the indignity and kabuki theater of their bullshit security, it's time to board the tram, which whisks you off to the happiest place on earth. Except while on that tram, you must endure 4 or 5 minutes of instructions on how to behave on that tram. All delivered in official man's voice. Keep your arms and legs inside the tram. Do not stand up. Do not eat or drink. Bow your head when exiting. Be sure to take your belongings. And on and on and on. Some friends and I used to hang at an Italian restaurant. It was a chain. I don't like chains. The theme was sort of old Chicago, maybe with a hint of mob around it. But trust me, Tony Spumante would never set foot in a joint like that. It was inauthentic, to say the least. I was never too crazy about it, but it was located convenient to my friends and myself. We'd meet there a few times a month and throw back a few, have some laughs, and shoot the shit. And we'd run up some enormous tabs. The bartenders and waitstaff loved us. We spent a lot of jing, tipped lavishly, and made no problems. We were the type of customers that appear only in the dreams of restaurateurs. One of the few things I liked about the joint was the crapper. It was spacious, clean. You never had to wait to tap a kidney. And over every urinal and toilet was a framed print of a Vargas girl. For those of you who may not be familiar with a Vargas girl, Google it. You'll like what you see. He was a fantastic artist, Joaquin Alberto Vargas y Chavez. And he just about invented the pinup girl. His work still sells for hundreds of thousands of dollars. Most of the girls were incredibly pointy. They are rarely nude, but they are sexy as hell. Vargas Girls ain't porn, it's art. So it was always fun to pick a fresh place to leak and view another Vargas girl while draining the beast. One night, I go in the can and the walls are empty, empty. When I come back out, I mention it to my friends and they were equally miffed, even Marvin. So I asked the barmaid. She knew nothing about it. And I asked to see the manager. As soon as I saw him, I knew I had my answer. Supercilious, pompous, overly groomed, authoritarian. All this apparent even before he opened his mouth. Sometimes you can judge a book by its hair product. So what happened to the Vargas prints in the men's room?
A gentleman complained, he answered curtly.
Really? That's so odd. Why would any gentleman complain about Vargas girls? Now he checked his watch, letting me know he was busy, 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 even though my friends and I were paying his salary.
Actually, he was concerned about his son. He didn't think it was appropriate for him to view.
Really? How old was his son?
I don't see what relevance that is. I need to get back to work now.
Hold on there, Slick. I think you are at work, no? And you're speaking with some very good customers. Now, from the corner of my eye, I see the barmaid, who is a cool chick. And she's desperately trying to signal this asshole that we threw a lot of money around the place and into her pocket. He saw her signal and decided to stay a little bit longer. But I could see he was uncomfortable. So I said, we'd like to make a complaint. We like those pictures, and we'd like to see them hanging back up in the men's room. His back stiffened. Ah, the body language.
If you'd like to discuss food or service, I'll be happy to, but the decor really isn't something I can do anything about.
Uh-huh. But you just did, for that gentleman and his offended son, didn't you? Now I see this fucktard's hackles really start to rise, and he put on his fuck you smile. You know what that is. You get it all the time from this service industry. It's fuck you behind the teeth. He says,
I'm sorry. The pictures aren't coming back.
Is that right? Well, neither are we. Now you run along, little man, and bring us our check. Chop, chop. For a minute there, I thought he was going to spit at me. Or slap me. And we never returned. I'm going to digress for a moment here and hip all listeners and dojo members to a little piece of verbal judo that I first articulated in my book, Mac Daddy. When you're arguing with an asshole, and it seems it's always an asshole, doesn't it? Select from one of these three stock retorts. Is that right? How about that? And isn't that something? Those three phrases are the verbal equivalent of a boxer's feint or a head fake. They mean absolutely nothing, but they give you time to cock your pistols while making the asshole think he just might be winning. I try to opt for the independent businessman. That asshole at the chain restaurant has probably had a dozen jobs since then and clearly didn't give a shit about the people that mattered. He was just going to advance his warped political agenda and fuck the paying customers. I'll choose the guy whose mortgage payment depends on the quality of his food and the relationship he has with his customers. When you eat at a chain restaurant, you're paying for some EVP's club membership and corporate jet. It's all baked into your microwave meal. So why the hell do it? So what do we do about these creepy people who want to ruin Jasmine and our lives? I have a plan. It's the HCACC. That's Hot Chick Aversion Conditioning Chamber. It's a fresh spin on the Clockwork Orange method of behavior modification. You grab that cretinous broad who bitched about Princess Jasmine, or any people who can't deal with the fact that some people are better looking than others. And maybe that asshole from the Italian restaurant who didn't like Vargas girls. We strap them to chairs and pin their eyelids open with fish hooks. And in front of them is a never-ending carousel of ultra-pointy Victoria's Secret angels, the Sex Bomb A-Team, Adriana Lima, Kate Upton, and so on, strutting their stuff, using every move in the lap dancer's handbook. Round and round and round they go, with 6-inch ankle strap shoes beneath perfect 3-diamond legs, G-strings smaller than an eye patch, gravity-defying boobies and faces made to enthrall. Then, we turn up the heat and turn on the music. Here's some hot, hot chicks and their pointy too. They're dancing here right in front of you. At the most, they wear size 2, and we know that makes you blue, but it's a pointy hot chick world. It's a pointy hot chick world. It's a pointy, pointy hot chick world. They are men's favorite kind of girls. It's a pointy hot chick world. You must look at their legs. You must look at their nails. You must look at yourself and acknowledge your fails. You don't get to decide what they show or what they hide, because it's a pointy hot chick world. It's a pointy hot chick world. It's a pointy, pointy, pointy hot chick world. They are men's favorite kind of girls. It's a pointy hot chick world. Why do some women hate really beautiful women? Envy, of course. But they'll never ever cop to it. I recall standing in the art department at work, and a bunch of guys had an image of some famous fitness model up on a computer. She was amazing. She was built like a leopard, and her face was like some jungle cat as well. She was pointy. Another woman strolled over to see what had all the guys in such a tizzy. Her name was Diane, and somebody says, "Hey, Diane, what do you think of Miss World Fitness here?" Diane wrinkles her nose and says, "She's common." You flip that scene with a bunch of women and some impossibly good-looking guy on that screen, and not one guy in a million will have her reaction. We've all known guys that are movie star material. And when we'd go out on the prowl, it was always, "Yes, bring Mr. Movie Star along. He's chick bait, and we can feast on his cast-offs." Guys don't give a shit if other guys are better looking. We get envious of other things, cars, wealth, and so on. But we really have to stop these dictatorial pukes who want to control us and what we see and hear or how our princesses dress. Hey, thanks for stopping by the dojo, my friends. It's always a kick to hang with you. Click on the Patreon logo for access to bonus episodes and rewards. And drop me an email at thatlarryshow@gmail.com or a voicemail at 302-71-LARRY. Follow the show on Twitter at @thatlarryshow. It's been fun destroying Disneyland, the so-called Magic Kingdom. And if you really think about it, you don't have to travel many miles and blow a lot of Skrilla on Disney's mechanical magic. There's magic everywhere you look. In the sunset, in the night sky above you, in the reflection of the world in a puddle of rain. It's all there. All you have to do is look for it. And if you don't feel like looking, then close your eyes. Magic can come from within, too. We'll see you next time at the crossroads of madness and enlightenment. Until then, we're gonna let a cat named Andre Danuth take us out with his magical guitar. See you around.